Good morning, it's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. We're going to talk momentarily about the greatest finales of a series in television history. Last night, Game of Thrones with its final episode. We don't have the viewing figures yet. Safe to say millions of Americans tuned in for the finale. Coming up later this hour, though, we'll talk with the man behind Pandora's Music Genome Project, Nolan Gasser, his new book, Why You Like It, The Science and Culture of Musical Taste. Why do you like the kind of music that you do? We'll explore that later this hour. But first, Game of Thrones coming to a close less than a week after The Big Bang Theory ended its lengthy run on CBS. There have been so many classic series that ended not with an incidental final episode, but with a carefully crafted one to try and bring the chapter of the characters to a close. Let's go back to the final episode of Friends as the group says goodbye to the iconic purple apartment that belonged to Monica Geller's grandmother and housed all of the friends at one point or another in the series' life. Most recently here, Monica, Courtney Cox, lived there with her husband, Chandler Bing, played by Matthew Perry, and their newborn adopted twins. And they're finally moving out in the final episode.
Okay, please be careful with that. It was my grandmother's. Be careful. Thank you. If that falls off the truck, it wouldn't be the worst thing.
Wow.
I know. It seems smaller somehow.
Has it always been purple?
Look around, you guys. This was your first home. And it was a happy place, filled with love and laughter. But more important, because of rent control, it was a friggin' steal.
From Friends, the final episode. With us to talk about the best finales in the history of television is business editor of Variety, Cynthia Littleton. Cynthia, good to have you with us again. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Larry.
Last night, let's start with Game of Thrones, and we're going to do our best to avoid spoilers. I know most fans of the series probably built Sunday night around seeing the final episode as it aired on HBO, but for those who recorded it and are planning to watch it on DVR later, let's try not to reveal anything that would spoil the experience. What did you think about the final episode?
I mean, I personally, as a viewer, as a fairly casual Game of Thrones viewer, which is kind of heresy among the big TV aficionados, I thought it was satisfying. I thought it wrapped up most of the key characters and gave you a clear idea of where they were, their direction of where their stories would go in the future. I thought it left enormous doors open for coming back. There are no shortage of places and characters that could be picked up with, you know, in a few years' time if everybody decides that that's a good idea. You know, the reaction has been pretty strong out there, as you would expect, given the megaphone of social media. Lots of people are parsing every decision, lots of criticism about, well, this character's motivation didn't track with the rest of that character's journey on the show. So there's inevitably going to be a lot of that. If there wasn't, that would be concerning to HBO. It's a sign that some people cared so deeply about this show and the characters.
Hard to bring a lengthy series to a close when you feel like you know those characters so well. I go back to another HBO series, The Sopranos, which left the ending open-ended, implying that something bad was going to be happening to Tony and or his family as they were having dinner together. But they're a very conscious decision by showrunner David Chase to leave it open-ended to the viewer and not to have a final scene of violence or avoidance of violence. There's a lot of criticism of Sopranos and viewers who wanted some sense of closure that the finale didn't provide.
I mean, this is true. David Chase to this day is constantly peppered with questions about what did you mean, you know, what did you mean with that finale? Now that time has passed, he's often asked, do you regret the finale? And to his credit, he has the courage of his convictions, and, you know, he regrets nothing. He birthed that show. He took it out the way he saw fit.
All right, 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Nick in Palm Springs wants to mention what's one of the most shocking finales of any television series in history. Nick, go right ahead.
Hey, Larry. Well, after that buildup, it may seem counterintuitive, but, you know, we talk about the Game of Thrones and Sopranos and these big, meaty series, but the one that always comes back to me is the second Newhart, where they pulled that surprise off, where Suzanne Plachet shows up at the end of the episode, if you recall it or if you know.
Yeah. Oh, I do remember.
And I think for a light, frothy sitcom to be able to have kept that under wraps, you know, I mean, there was no reason you would expect something like that from a previous series to then show up. And it just always stuck with me, and I love watching the clip even on YouTube still to this day.
It's such a shock, such a twist ending, which pulls the premise of the entire series out from under you. Now, if you haven't seen it, so the second series Bob Newhart stars in is just called Newhart. Dick Loudon, who's the character that he plays in this final episode, he's hit in the head with a golf ball, and then it cuts to Newhart, still the star, but playing the character of his previous series, psychologist Dr. Robert Hartley. And Nick mentioned Suzanne Plachet, who played his wife in that earlier series. And he's in bed with Suzanne Plachet, and they wake up, and it's all a dream. The whole second series was all a dream.
And the subtlety of it, too. They went so far as to recreate the set from the first series. The bed sheets were even, you know, the same sort of plaid that were sort of a 1970s look. And they just had it all done. And Suzanne Plachet looks at him like, what are you talking about, Bob? It was perfect.
It was remarkable. And even the look of the film was just perfectly matched the earlier series. We're talking about the end of the CBS series, Newhart. Cynthia Littleton, you remember that close?
I do. And it was, you know, It was so unusual because, you know, to pull that off, you had to have a show and a personality in Bob Newhart who had been fortunate enough to have a previous show that was beloved and had a long run. You know, to pull that off, you had to have the establishment of the Bob Hartley and Emily Hartley, played by Suzanne Plachet. You had to have that relationship established, and then you had to have just the good fortune. All those years later, I believe Newhart ended in 1990, all those years later to have Suzanne Plachet be game to come back. You know, oftentimes on shows there's no love lost between stars and there can be chilly relations, but that was just a case of the stars aligning and the inspiration to make that happen.
Brilliant idea.
I believe their showrunner has said that it was something that came to him as they knew a year or two out that they knew that the Newhart show was coming to an end, that it was an idea that kind of sprung, that grew slowly, and when they realized that they could pull it off, it would be harder in today's world with social media.
Yeah, because they kept it quiet.
Somebody might have seen Suzanne Plachet going into the driving onto the studio lot. It just seems like one of those things that could happen and have that kind of impact because we were, you know, living in a certainly a simpler time of communications.
Miriam Glendora seconding the Newhart finale is totally unexpected. And also she's a big fan of the ending from MASH. Let's listen to that. This finale of MASH, the only non-Super Bowl among the top 10 most watched TV broadcasts of all time. In the final scene of the series, Hawkeye Pierce, Alan Alda, and B.J. Honeycutt, Mike Farrell, bid a heartfelt farewell to one another as their time together at the 4077 comes to an end.
Look, I know how tough it is for you to say goodbye, so I'll say it. Maybe you're right. Maybe we will see each other again. But just in case we don't, I want you to know how much you've meant to me. I'll never be able to shake you. Whenever I see a big pair of feet or a cheesy mustache, I'll think of you.
Whenever I smell month-old socks, I'll think of you.
And the next time somebody nails my shoe to the floor.
Yeah, when somebody gives me a martini that tastes like lighter fluid.
I miss you.
I'll miss you. A lot. I can't imagine what this place would have been like if I hadn't found you here.
Mike Farrell, Alan Alda, the finale of MASH, and there a natural closure point with the Korean War winding down to an end. What's your favorite series finale, or which one were you eagerly anticipating that simply didn't live up to what you'd hoped it would be? 866-893-KPCC. Priscilla in Glassell Park says, as someone who read all the Game of Thrones books, I think it's amazing that the series ending honored the original material and the beginning of the series, going back to the Starks and the symbolism of the throne itself being the true villain. That's Priscilla. You can share what you thought of the Game of Thrones series finale. Was it satisfying or not? I just ask as much as possible to please avoid giving away any turns at the end of that for those who've recorded it and are planning to see it in the coming few days. 866-893-KPECC or the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. Max in Manhattan Beach says, finales have to live up to the buildup of the actual show, not feel contrived or like the series is rushing to wrap it up. Max says, I think, unfortunately, Game of Thrones felt a little contrived and a little rushed. 866-893-KPECC. You can share your thoughts about which ones that for you are the most satisfying, which ones not. One that is a masterpiece, and I've seen in a number of stories covering best finales of all time, the HBO series 6 Feet Under, Alan Ball's series, which was so beautifully written, and death was a centerpiece of that series. And in the final episode, they resolve what happens to the funeral parlor that the family owns in Los Angeles, but then they take each of the principal characters of the series and fast forward through their lives and take you to each of their deaths. A very, very gutsy close to that series by Alan Ball. Cynthia Littleton, what did you think of the 6 Feet Under close?
Well, that one was very just startling, and in I think in the best way when it aired some years ago. Now it seemed very I think to the point of the previous caller that the best finales seem to honor the totality of the show by not going off in some wildly different creative direction or suddenly, you know, turning one character by 90 to 180 degrees just to serve a plot point. That is the stuff that tends to be frowned upon. In 6 Feet Under, it was just such a. Around that time, time jumps were not as common that you would see. You see them now fairly frequently as a plot device in shows. But back then, that finale. Also, you almost thought that it was going to end at a certain point, and then you got into this beautiful sort of montage scene that gave you the sense of where each of the characters were going. It was a beautiful piece of music that played over. It was just really, it was just a very stirring way to bring the show to an end after a lot of potboilery elements had been resolved or at least addressed, you know, to the satisfaction of fans that had invested a number of seasons in the show. So yes, I think 6 Feet Under still ranks very high in terms of creativity, but honoring all that had come before.
Chris tweets, the Sopranos began with Tony having panic attacks. It ended with Tony cured, but the audience panicking when the screen went blank. Genius ending. That's Chris tweeting at Air Talk. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. We'll take Carol Ann and Lisa's calls coming up. They have a couple of other series we haven't yet mentioned. They want to tout their finales as among the best. We'll be back in 1 minute. Johnny Mandel's theme for MASH. Probably a record won't be broken for the most watched finale in television history. Huge, huge audience for MASH when it went out. The ninth most watched program in the history of television. Everyone above it is the Super Bowl. That's how big this series was. We're asking you your favorite finale of a series, or one that you were really, really looking forward to and just didn't deliver. I'd say Seinfeld was that for me. I'm a huge fan of Seinfeld, and the final episode just didn't quite work for me. 866-893-KPCC or the AirTalk page, kpcc.org. Variety's Cynthia Littleton is with me. Carol Ann, in Torrance, your favorite finale.
Oh, Larry, just hearing the MASH theme hit me in the heart. But I think one of my very favorites was the Mary Tyler Moore closing.
It was so inspired.
That ensemble cast was just so universally, fantastically talented, and every single actor in that show was a jewel, and each character was a gem.
It was so in the feeling of the show, Carol Ann, to have every, you know, new ownership take over the station and everybody be fired. It gave great comedic opportunity, but also something serious that undergirded the comedy that came out of it. And I love that episode.
What sticks in my mind is the hug of, you know, how they're moving from one end of the station to the other. You know, giant hug.
While they're still arms around each other. Yeah, that was a very funny scene and very giant. That series was sure lightning in a bottle. Let's talk with Lisa in Northridge. Lisa, what's your favorite finale?
I'd have to say that one of my absolute favorite series finale was Parks and Rec. I think they did a really good job setting up the finale with the time jump in the final season and then finishing it out with the continuing time jumps in the final episode to like show where everyone had gone and, you know, where their life had taken them with their decisions and from being in Parks and Rec. And I really also kind of love the little bit of the ambiguous ending of exactly the final fate career-wise of Leslie and or Ben.
And sometimes it's hard to hit the sort of the right balance between poignancy because over a period of time, one develops an emotional attachment to these characters, and there's a sadness that you're not going to see new stories with them. But the other hand, you know, with a comedy like Parks and Rec, it's really got to be funny. It can't all be about sort of the, you know, melancholy farewell. And do you feel, Lisa, that it hit the right note?
Absolutely. I think ending with Terry Larry's funeral, some of that part was really funny. I think they did a really good job of really setting up, keeping it funny, but really giving everyone very satisfying conclusions.
Lisa, I appreciate it so much. From a Parks and Rec fan, David in La Habra, you want to talk about Three's Company's closer?
Yes, it was something that I still to this day have not seen, if at the least often. The way Three's Company ended was at Jack's Bistro, if I remember right. And when the credits were done rolling, Three's a Crowd followed right behind it in the credits, literally. So Three's Company ending was followed by Three's a Crowd, which was him, his fiance, and her father pretty much starring in the show.
So they just rolled it from one to the other. And that's you got a built-in big audience for a hit series that's closing. Why not launch something new to come out of it? Cynthia, we have any other examples like Three's Company where they leveraged that final episode that way?
You know, in terms of directly the final episodes, I'm racking my brain. That does seem like an old school move. I think there's an understanding now that people, you know, networks, they milk the heck out of finale seasons. You know, the typical pattern now has been to, you know, to let people know that this is going to be the final season and then market the heck out of that. We saw that obviously with Game of Thrones. We've seen that from CBS this year with The Big Bang Theory, which just wrapped its run this past Thursday. And I'm really racking my brain. There probably is, you know, going back decades, but off the top of my head, I feel like
I can't. Yeah,
that would be. I think networks would see that as a little crass right now, and unless you had something that was so perfectly set up. But even in the case of The Big Bang Theory, CBS did have a spinoff called Young Sheldon, but that launched two seasons ago, so it kind of already had its roots established. There was, though, in Thursday's episode of Young Sheldon, there was a nod to the Big Bang Theory finale.
Yeah.
Young Sheldon is a prequel, and the character had a vision of things in the future that related to the Big Bang finale, so that was kind of a nice tie-in. But directly like that, with the Three's Company example, which, that's good. That's pulling it out of your hat.
Yeah, that is.
Can't think of anything analogous.
Yeah. Ivy wants to comment. You share my view about the Seinfeld finale. What was it bothered you about that close?
You know, it's funny because I love Larry David, and I've seen every episode of Seinfeld maybe 5 or 6 times a piece.
Yeah, me too.
So I felt like I knew the characters really well, and it bothered me that they seemed somewhat out of character. Like, they were shallow people and selfish people, but they weren't nasty, mean people. And so I thought them ignoring the plight of this guy who is getting robbed just completely upended everything that I felt like I knew about their characters. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, they seemed like different people to me. I had the same. So I just assumed Larry David was doing something that I didn't understand because he's so brilliant. I just figured somehow I missed. There was something he's revealing about the characters that I hadn't seen, and that was on me. But I have to say it was not satisfying for me either.
Yeah, I think he just wanted to have them have some sort of recompense and bring everybody back who had been so popular throughout the series, and that was the only way he could think of to do it. But he ended up kind of missing the mark with the character's behavior.
Yeah, Cynthia, Seinfeld's finale was one that seemed to generally arrive with a thud, and what do you think are the reasons for that?
I think one thing to remember is that Larry David, at the time the Seinfeld finale aired, Larry David had been off the show for a couple of years. So maybe part of it was he hadn't been living with those characters as intently as he would had he been the showrunner in the final. I believe it was the final 2 or 3 seasons that he was not technically the showrunner, though he did come back for the final episode. It's a, you know, given the high quality of so much of Seinfeld, given the esteem that Larry David is held in by comedy writers, that one still, you know, almost 20 years later, more than 20 years later, just remains a head scratcher as to how they could have gotten it so off. Although on some level, you know, as a viewer, you say, okay, I'm investing in this show. I'm going along on the ride. This is how they decided that the ride, you know, that this particular ride had to end. But I think I'm in agreement with the callers that it was just a surprising miss from a show that otherwise was, you know, had so many stellar moments.
Well, and given Larry David's greatness, he can have a whiff. That's all right. And I think he still considers that to be, it was, I think, executed the way that he intended. Evan in San Clemente, I understand you were the star of a reality show in its final episode. Share your story, please.
Well, no, Larry, I listen to you when I can, and I didn't so much call because of my particular show, but I was on Joe Millionaire from Fox, and we had, you know, reality television is the redheaded stepchild of TV, the way I look at it. But we did have quite large numbers for our season finale, which I think were in the 40 million range. But it was funny because I was a big fan of Frasier, which I don't know if you watched.
Oh yeah. Huge fan of Frasier. Yeah.
And at the time, which in 2004, I was working as a game show host for the Game Show Network. And we were touring around. I was touring around with Chuck Woolery, and it just so happened that the week of the finale for Frasier, we were in Seattle.
Great. And the city's going nuts.
I watched the finale where that show was supposed to be based around, you know, Seattle. I was at the Westin Hotel on the Thursday night when it aired, watching the season finale, and it was just neat to say, you know, that, hey, I was...
Yeah, I'll bet.
...where that was based off of. Did you like the season finale? Was that...
The series finale for Frasier, I did. I thought it was well done. It was a little wistful. I thought it was done. It's funny because now they're talking about potentially bringing Frasier back again. We'll see if that happens. But I wouldn't be surprised given the reboots or revivals of series. Evan, thanks very much. Evan Marriott, star of Joe Millionaire, being in a final finale himself. Grace in Culver City said she was disappointed in Star Trek The Next Generation because it didn't feature some key characters that who appeared throughout the series. It left a lot of open endings. It's funny because there was also a listener in Long Beach. Let me see if I can find him. Calvin in Long Beach was not happy with Star Trek Deep Space Nine's ending. Said it was very disappointing. You didn't know whether Captain Sisko died or not. It just left you hanging there. Let's see what other comments we have. Oh, David in Universal City, The Fugitive finale. David Jansen, starring this before the feature film, The Fugitive, in which Harrison Ford starred. David said the ultimate finale, whole series was waiting to see if the real one-armed man who was the killer would be caught. And he was in the final episode. That's back when everyone watched the same few television channels. And Cynthia, my recollection is that The Fugitive at the time, I think that set the ratings record before it was broken later by MASH.
It was, you know, I can't say I remember this firsthand, but I have seen the original Fugitive series, and it is fantastic. It's suspenseful. It's taut. It's it has the cat and mouse element, and there are the original series ran three seasons, and while, you know, there are encounters between the law enforcement official who's chasing David Jansen's character, there are encounters, and there's times when you think, oh my God, how could this person have eluded capture for the 15th time? The show overall is really well done, and the finale is so good. I remember the last line. I guess I'm a little reluctant to spoil it for people, just in case they might want to go seek it out. But the writing and the voiceover last line was so good. It just put the entire series into perspective, and it is, for a show that was very often dark, it was a fairly positive ending for the character that had been through hell and back.
I love the road
finale.
I'm sorry to interrupt, Sandy. It sort of turned the road trip show on its head, because of course he's on the run, but he goes all throughout the United States, and so he gives you a different sense of place. It's sort of like the dark Route 66, so to speak, series that had predated it. Nina in View Park. Hey, Nina, real quickly, you actually champion a series finale that was pretty generally panned. You liked the close of Lost.
I did, Larry. I mean, I can't say that I loved it, but I would agree with your guest, Cynthia, who says, you know, oftentimes you are so vested in a show. And I just thought the quality of the writing for Lost, the depth and the diversity of the characters was so incredible that I was willing to accept, although I wasn't thrilled. I was like, what? They really are dead. But the romantic part of me was so happy with the two characters, Jack and Kate, finally, Kate finally declaring her love. I remember I turned to my husband and I got all teary-eyed and I said, man, I've been waiting 5 years for her to say that to him.
So you got the payoff from that. Nina, thanks so much in View Park. John in Montrose says his favorite Saint Elsewhere, totally unexpected finale. And Robin Glendale said, I was a kid during the final episode of Cheers when Sam Malone closed down the bar. Very poignant moment for a comedy and in TV history. And yeah, and he didn't end up with Diane Chambers. She didn't end up with him as she returned for that final episode and one didn't know what the result would be. Cynthia Littleton, Variety Business Editor, thanks so much. It's been a lot of fun talking with you.
Thank you, Larry.
Enjoyed it. Coming up, what is it about our musical taste What influences it? What are the factors that lead us to seek out the kinds of music that we do? We'll talk about that right after a live update from Hedy Lynn Hurdy's.